Good afternoon. Can we take just a few moments to pray for each other in silence? One for Malia. We're going to talk this afternoon a little bit about community life.
今天下午呢, 我们讲一讲团体生活。
The Second Vatican Council uses the term family to describe a religious community.
梵蒂冈第二次大公会议啊, 用这个家庭啊, 这样一个名词, 来表达我们这个团体生活。
This is from
这是这个罗马人书保罗宗徒用了罗马人书说修会是以天主的名义而集合的真实的一个家庭基督就在他们中间也是马窦福音第十八章的。The
use of the word family is intentional.
所以说梵蒂冈是有意的特意的用这个家庭这个词来描述修会生活。
And this is why the Second Vatican Council even describes it as a true family. This is a promise for us regarding how the Holy Spirit wants to form us. But it is also a challenge for us. We have to respond to the movement of the Holy Spirit.
但是对于我们来讲,同时也是一个挑战,因为我们应该对圣神的引导,圣神的推动的回应,进行回应。
Two extremes that damage the community are individualism and communitarianism.
这个当时方的同一个团体来讲，有两个极端的这个情形会伤害这个团体的，一个就是这个个人主义，一个就是这个极端的这个团队主义。A
community should be a place in which we can experience personal growth and fulfillment.
一个团体应该是让我们一个地方，是一个空间，让我们能够去发展我们自己的这个经验，或者是这个成长。
At the same time, we must make sure that the community is also growing as we are growing.
但是同时的我们也应该意识到这个团体也需要像我们自己一样也需要成长。
The extreme of individualism focuses too much on personal gifts.
这个极端的个人主义太聚集在集中在个人的这个成长方面了。
Focuses on personal gifts, personal preferences, personal growth.
强调个人的这个优先，个人的这个天赋，个人的成长。
The extreme of communitarianism leaves no room for personal gifts or personal growth.
但是极端的团体主义呢，却又这个没有给予个人的成长留下空间，光强调团体的成长，而忽视了个人的成长。
Everyone is forced to be the same in community.
所以极端的团体主义就是说，每个人在团体当中都好像一样了，没有了个性了，都是好像，都是一样的。
So we want to have room for the individual to stand out in the community.
所以说在一个真正团体当中，我们也应该有一个，好像既是团体，但是有一个个体，就像这个戴彩色的这个女士一样，虽然是一个团体，但是也有个体的存在。
But we also want to have a real sense of unity in the community.
但是同时呢，在团体当中，我们也要讲这个，共同体哈，就是统一，不是光讲的客体，也不能光讲统一，这两个都得有。
It's the Holy Spirit that creates a diversity of personal gifts.
这是因为圣神的灵在哈，给予我们每一个个体的个人的哈这个天赋或者神恩。
But it's also the Holy Spirit that brings those gifts together in a harmony.
同时，这个圣神呢，也把这个所有的人的恩宠呢，能够合一的哈，共融的哈，能够团结在一起。
This is Pope Francis's favorite description of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is harmony.
这就是我们的教宗哈，方济各哈，对这个圣神的表达描述哈，就是圣神是一个和谐、共融。
We can see that these challenges for developing religious community also existed in Scripture.
所以我们看到这个团体的挑战，这种也存在于圣经的描述当中，在圣经当中也记载了好多团体的挑战。
We have the temptation to individualism in the apostles with Jesus.
所以我们也看到这个团体当中，就是耶稣的宗徒当中呢，也有强调这个个人主义的这种现象。
Some of the apostles focused on themselves and their own ambitions.
所以有些宗徒呢，主要是集中在自己的个人的这个，好像地位哈，或者等等。
They argued about who is the greatest.
所以他们为了谁是老大啊，谁是最大的而争论。
Maybe we can have somebody read a short passage from Scripture.
我们可以邀请来一个姊妹哈，读一下圣经的一个讲到的章节。
From
谁愿意来自愿呢？行。
Matthew chapter 18 verses 1 to 5.
马窦福音第十八章，这个 so verse first to five.
1 to 5.
十八章，马窦福音十八章一到五节。马窦福音，十八章。
就在那时刻，门徒来到耶稣跟前说，在天国里究竟谁是最大的？耶稣就叫一个小孩来，使他站在他们中间，说，我实在告诉你们，你们若不变成如同小孩一样，你们绝不能进天国。所以谁若自谦自卑如同这一个小孩，这人就是天国中最大的。无论谁因我的名字收留一个这样的小孩，就是收留我。
Jesus teaches us that one of the remedies for individualism is humility.
是的，耶稣教导我们，去治愈这个团体当中的个人主义，最好的这个方法就是这个谦逊，谦卑。
We must continue to humble ourselves in order to allow the community to grow.
所以我们必须是自己学会自谦自卑，而允许就是放弃个人的这主要的思想，让团体能够去成长。
He teaches us that another remedy for individualism is making room for children.
所以另外一个让团体成长就是抑制个人主义的这个思想方面的治疗治愈方式就是允许这个小孩子一样就是接纳小孩子。
In our religious communities, the children are new members, the novices.
所以在我们有好多宗教的这个团体当中这个小孩子就是我们新的这个初学者。
We need to learn to make room for new members, for novices.
所以我们应该给这些小孩子新的这个初学者留有这个空间。
It can be difficult to make room for new members because they have new ideas and new energy.
所以有的时候给这个新来者哈，新的这个初学者留有空间，有时候也是很困难的啊。因为我们接到他们，就说明啊，他们有新的这个思想、新的观点。
And it also takes, they also require a lot of attention in order to form them properly.
所以说，同样的对这些新来者的这个培育啊，也需要我们有好多注意力、好多精力啊，去给他们培育。
This is similar to a married couple. When they welcome children into the, when they have children in their family.
这同样的也像这个婚姻新婚夫妇一样，他们要接受一个小孩子，要这个拥有一个小孩子，对他们来讲也是很大的挑战，怎么去接纳这个小孩子。
There is a significant transition that takes place after marriage when the couple decides to have children.
所以这是一个也是个重大的这个意义上的转变，就是一个夫妇转变成为父母，接受孩子，这是一个很大的挑战和转变。
I know a married couple that decided to wait 5 years before having their first child.
他这个认识一对夫妇啊，就是他们结婚5年了才决定去接受一个孩子，就因为他们在接受过程当中好像有挑战，不知道该怎么接受。
They said that they wanted to work on their marriage first.
所以他们说他们先决定先把他们的夫妇生活处理好。
After 5 years, they had their first child and discovered what the real meaning of marriage is.
所以这个5年之后啊，他们有了他们第一个孩子啊，所以他们才发现了啊，到底这个婚姻生活的意义啊是什么。
And they said to me, we discovered that we were not working on our marriage, we were really working on our selfishness.
所以说他说我们这5年这个当中啊，并不是为了我们的，好像不是为了我们的婚姻啊，而是为了我们个人的自私。
So it is a real challenge and a real sacrifice to welcome new members.
所以这是一个很大的挑战，也需要我们很大的牺牲啊，这个去接受一个新的新来者啊，需要很大的牺牲啊。
We have to take ourselves out of the center and put those new members into the center, like Jesus did.
就像耶稣一样，我们不应该把我们个人中心主义啊，这个放到一边去，而应该把新道者啊放在中心。
We also have the example in scripture of the opposite problem of communitarianism.
在我们同样在圣经当中，我们也记载了针对个人主义正好相反的一面，就是这个团体主义。
Sorry, I have one more example from individualism first.
首先再顺便补充一下，再给大家补充一个个人主义的这个例子。
The apostles did not learn from Matthew from the earlier example, and we have a problem again.
所以这个宗徒们并没有从这个开先一个事例当中啊学习到经验教训啊。他们还有一个章节提到他们的问题，就是马窦福音第20章1-2节。马窦福音20章1-2节，看看是讲什么。
公读圣马窦福音20章1-2节。天国好像一个家主，清晨出去为自己的葡萄园雇工人。
Maybe read through. Read through 28. I'm sorry. Twenty.
20-24节。
Sorry about that. Yeah.
圣马窦福音20章20节-28节。那时，宰伯德儿子的母亲同自己的儿子前来叩拜耶稣，请求他一件事。耶稣对他说：“你要什么？”他回答说：“你叫我的这两个儿子，在你王国内，一个坐在你的右边，一个坐在你的左边。”耶稣回答说：“你们不知道你们所求的是什么。你们能饮我将要饮的爵吗？”他们说：“我们能。”耶稣对他们说：“我的爵你们固然要饮，但坐在右边或左边，不是我可以给的。 而是我父给谁预备了就给谁。那十个听了就恼怒他们两兄弟。耶稣叫过他们来说，你们知道外邦人有首长主宰他们，有大臣管辖他们，在你们中却不可这样。谁若愿意在你们中成为大的，就当做你们的仆役；谁若愿意在你们中为首，就当做你们的奴仆。就如人子来，不是受服侍，而是服侍人，并交出自己的生命，为大众做赎价。
谢谢。James and John even get help from their mother in fighting about who is the greatest.
所以在这个章节当中，我们听到这个若望和雅各伯哥俩，甚至借着他的母亲帮助，希望这个获得高位。
Jesus gives us a remedy again, which is sacrifice, self-sacrifice.
所以同样的，耶稣在提醒，你要想得到这个高位，应该做更大的付出，就牺牲。
And in community, we will grow personally through service, not through competition.
所以在团体当中，我们的成长是通过服务，而不是竞争。
When James and John fight over the right, being at the right and the left, they anger the other apostles.
所以说，当这个若望和雅各伯哥俩这个希望坐在耶稣的左边和右边的时候，而招致了七大宗徒们的这个愤怒。
But the way that James and John will truly become the best is by laying down their lives for the others.
但是反过来，在最后这个若望和雅各伯他们也获得了上位而是为是通过借着牺牲自己最后也像耶稣一样钉死为别人服务流血牺牲而成为了这个我们值得尊敬的。
Now we can look at some examples of communitarianism.
现在我们看一看关于这个团体主义的一些问题。
We see that in the Acts of the Apostles.
看看《宗徒大事录》十五章一到五节。
有从犹太下来的几个人教训弟兄们说，若是你们不按梅瑟的惯例行割损，不能得救。保禄和巴尔纳伯同他们起了不少的争执和辩论，大家就指定保禄和巴尔纳伯与他们中的几个人上耶路撒冷去见宗徒和长老讨论这问题。他们由教会送走之后就路过腓尼基和撒玛利亚，沿途叙述外邦人规划的事，使众弟兄非常喜欢。他们到了耶路撒冷，为教会宗徒和长老所欢迎，就报告了天主协同他们所行的一切大事。却有几个信徒的法利赛党人起来说，必须叫外邦人受割损，又应该命他们遵守梅瑟的法律。
There were some members of the early church who did not want any Gentiles to be part of the church.
所以在初级教会总有一些少数人不希望这个外邦人加入基督徒团体。
They could not accept this diversity.
不能接受这个多元化的这样的一个团体。
And we hear at the beginning of this passage that they were fighting for uniformity.
所以我们从这个开始的这个小节看到他们为了这个统一而这个做这个好像做一个斗争一样。
And we also see a contrast. Those who can welcome diversity rejoice at the conversion. The others get angry.
同时我们也看到有些团体的都很喜欢为了这个多元化而高兴，比如说像保罗的团体。
When we can welcome diversity, we see the work of the Holy Spirit.
所以我们看到这种多元化这个时候我们反而会看到是圣神的工作这个结果。
And then we can rejoice in the Holy Spirit to see His work.
所以说我们可以在圣神内去感到欢乐，看到这个圣神的这个引导我们的工作而欢乐。
So we can see that these problems are not new problems.
所以说我们可以看到这个团体主义或者个人主义都不是新的问题。
And we can be honest about these problems in our own communities.
所以说我们可以看到这同样的问题也存在我们的团体当中。
And we can be honest about these problems in our own hearts.
所以说我们可以更诚实的去看到这些问题也存在我们的心中。
It is a good examination of conscience to ask ourselves, can I welcome new members?
这也是我们这个一个机会，让我们去反省我们的良心，就是我们是不是愿意真正的欢迎这个新来者，新来的人。
Can I accept different gifts that God may send to our community?
我们能不能接受不同的圣恩或者天赋的人，就是说天主派遣的这些人来到我们团体当中，我们能不能去接受他们？
If someone is better than I am at my ministry, can I rejoice in that?
如果一个人比我的在牧灵方面或者在工作方面比我强，我能不能去接受或者是为此而高兴呢？
Now let's look at some good examples from the early church.
我们先看一些比较好的例子就是早期教会的比较好的例子，我们先看一看，在这些方面就愿意接受新人。为他们的天赋而高兴，这样的例子。宗徒大事录第二章42-47节。
他们专心听取宗徒的训诲，时常团聚掰饼祈祷，因为宗徒写了许多奇迹异事，每人都怀着敬畏之情。凡信了的人常集集一处，一切所有皆归公用。他们把产业和财物变卖，按照每人的需要分配，每天都成群结队地前往圣殿，也挨户掰饼，怀着欢乐和诚实的心一起进食。他们常赞颂天主，也获得了全民众的爱戴。上主天主使那些得救的人加入会众。
We can hear in this passage the unity in the original in apostolic community.
所以我们从这个章节当中可以听到，在这个宗徒时代的教会的这个团结，这个统一。
They had all things in common.
所以他们每一个人这个奉献的都一样，都给同样奉的同样的这个东西。
This requires an openness in two directions, giving and receiving.
这个大家都一样，这个就要求两个事情了，就两个方向，就大家同样的付出，同样的获得。
They were willing to receive the gifts that each one brought.
所以说他们每一个人都这个很情甘心情愿的去接受别人所带来的恩赐。
And each one was willing to share everything that he had.
所以每个人都乐意去分享自己所有的。
And the result was that God added to their number every day.
所以这个结果就是天主让这个团体的成员增加了，每天都有新的增加，每天都在成长。
The most attractive community is the kind that has this, this kind of sharing.
所以一个团体如果要有吸引力的话，就必须具备这样的这种这个吸引力，就是这种形式的团体。
And it is also a community that is filled with joy and sincerity of heart.
所以更重要的也是一个团体必须要充满了这个真诚和这个喜乐。没有真诚没喜乐，一个团体不能会成长的。
We hear another description of this apostolic community a couple chapters later.
后来我一看另外这个一些这个宗徒大事录的一些章节比如说第四章32-35节。
This will be our last reading.
应该最后一个了。
众信徒都是一心一意，凡个人所有的，都没有人说是自己的，都归公用。宗徒们以大德能，作证主耶稣的复活，在众人前大受爱戴。在他们中没有一个贫乏的人，因为凡有田地和房屋的，卖了以后，都把卖得的价钱带来，放在宗徒们脚前。照每人所需要的分配。
We see that this community is not only the most attractive bringing in new members, but also the most powerful witness of the resurrection.
所以这个团体不单单这个吸引了新的人这个不断的在加入也更是一个见证基督复活的一个团体。
St. Paul describes the church as a mystical body of Christ.
所以保罗宗徒跟我们说这个教会是基督的奥体。
And that body is designed to have many different kinds, different members, but that work together.
所以一个身体就需要有不同的这个部分来组成，但是不同的部分呢，需要去协调一致才行。
And so the community, like in the Acts of the Apostles, manifests that full resurrected body of Christ.
所以说这个宗徒大事录这几章这几个小节所记载的正好是表达了代表了好像复活的基督的身体一样。
These are scriptures that I encourage you to reflect on and pray with on your own.
这几个章节这个我建议大家这个去多去去阅读和反省。
I want to offer a few more points on this subject, guided by a document of the church.
所以现在再给大家提供几个根据咱们教会的文献的文教会文献的这个教导举几个例子。
I'm not sure if it's been translated into Chinese. It's called Fraternal Life and Community.
我不敢确定这些文献有没有翻译成中文这就是团体生活和团体是吧？那个。
So it provides several points for us to foster a community which is healthy.
所以这个文章呢，给我们提供了几个方面来帮忙我们去发展一个团体好的团体建立一个好的团体。
The first point it says to celebrate and give thanks for the common gift of vocation and mission.
所以第一点就是我们要这个为我们的共同的这个召教共同的这个使命而去喜乐去庆祝。
So the community itself has received a gift of being called by God and sent for a specific purpose.
所以一个团体是这个是天主的召叫啊，并被派遣，为一个特殊的使命而继续被派遣的啊，是团体。
The community, there's a certain primacy for this common vocation and mission.
所以在这个团体当中呢，就有一个优先的啊，所谓的团体和使命啊，是有几些东西是优先的。
The community existed before the individual members, and it will exist after the individual members.
所以首先，团体是存在于个体的啊，这个先于个体，存在先于个体的啊，而且还会。持续存在啊，在你跟某个个体去世之后呢，离开之后呢，团体还持续存在。
At the same time, God sends new members to the community for purposes that He knows.
所以同样的，这个同时的，天主也派遣新的团的这个成员来加入团体，为了特定的啊，就是天主所意愿的特殊的目标啊，而不断的啊增加新的成员来到团体当中。
And God intends to shape the common mission of the community through the gifts of individual members.
所以天主呢也愿意让每一个接着每一个个体的啊，团体当中每一个个体的这个恩赐或者天赋啊，来这个来组织啊，或者是这个整个团体的啊，组成这个整个团体的使命。
And so.We have to foster a more contemplative attitude and ask ourselves the question, what is God doing by sending this new member to us?
所以我们需要这个培养一种这个一个默观啊或者默想，就是要想这个天主为什么要把这些新的成员啊派到我们团体当中呢？
We have to have confidence that God sends particular gifts for particular reasons.
所以我们应该理解就是天主给不同的啊。特别的这个圣恩，是为了特殊的目的。
And this attitude helps us to praise God for every sister that He sends to the community.
所以这种的这个态度呢，就帮忙我们去为了天主所给予我们新的成员啊，这个一种喜乐啊，感谢天主而感谢天主，因为天主给了我们新的成员而感谢天主。
Every sister embodies the word of Christ in a unique way.
所以每一个修女啊，这个姊妹啊，来到神团体当中，因为他们都啊，好像领悟了啊，这个好像带着天主的某种啊恩宠，某种恩赐。
And so we have something to receive from every sister, and every sister has something to offer.
所以说，我们应该接受很热情的去接受啊，每一个姊妹。因为他们每一个姊妹呢，都有他们特殊的贡献。
We are often, we can easily be tempted to feel that someone does not fit into the community.
所以好多时候我们有这样的诱惑，我们觉得某个人好像不适合这个团体。
But it would be better to foster an attitude of looking for the gift that God is sending through this person.
但是反过来，我们应该去培养一种态度啊，就是说仔细去分辨，看一看啊，这个人所带来的恩赐对我们团体到底是什么。
We can ask, we can reflect, how is the community enriched by this person?
所以我们也可以去反省啊，我们的团体，借着这一个人的，能不能给我们增加啊，或者是我们团体。
I hope you remember the story that I told you last week about Saint Anthony.
所以我不知道大家还记不记我上一星期给大家讲的包的这个安多尼的故事。
Saint Anthony was a special gift to enrich the Franciscans.
所以圣安多尼的有一个特殊的神恩啊，能够让这个方济各团体呢。这个神好像更丰富。
But two important things had to happen for him to offer the gift.
但是有两件事情对他来说，去贡献，给他把自己的神贡献出来，包括有两件事情是非常重要的。
One is that Saint Anthony had to try and fit into the Franciscans.
第一个就是安多尼需要，让自己能够去适应这个方济各修会。
He did not come in waving a banner and saying, I'm going to change everything.
他并不是说他举着旗帜来到这儿来说，哎，我来给你们团体增加这个改变你们团体。
It was precisely his humility and patience that made it possible for him to offer the gift.
反之呢，他是借着他自己的谦虚和这个忍耐而适应于这个团体。
On the other hand, the Franciscans had to be willing to see the gift that God was sending them in St. Anthony.
另外一个方面呢，这个方济各修会呢，也需要去发现这个安东尼他自己的生恩能够对我们的这个修会能够做什么贡献。
St. Francis had a very strong attitude about intellectuals.
所以我们知道方济各对这个理性理智方面是很强调的。
And still he was willing to let God speak through St. Anthony.
所以说他也这个情愿甘心情愿让天主借着这个天主圣神借着安多尼给他们修会好像传达某种信息。
So none of this is easy, but it's very important for us to, if we are going to grow according to God's design.
所以这两点对我们来说是非常重要的，但是确实不是很容易的。所以需要我们去这样一种态度心态去看去接受。
And certainly for new members, there is a period of discernment.
当然了，为一个新来的这个成员他需要一个去甄别去辨别的这样的一个时间一个时段。
Not every young person who wants to join a community is actually called to join a community.
所以好多时候我们并不是说一个年轻人愿意这个加入一个团体并不意味着他就一定是被召叫要加入这个团体。
And so this discernment is important on the part of the young person and on the part of the community.
所以说这种这个辨别争辩呢就对这个年轻人和团体来说都是很重要的。
But for our part, we must make sure that our heart is really open.
所以对于我们这个团体来讲，成员来讲，首先要确定我们的心是不是开放的，是不是先开放。
And for a person who is already in final vows in the community, there is no more discernment.
当然，对一个这个发过众生愿的人，好像来说不需要对自己做一些这个分辨了。
We must believe in faith that that person is called to be a part of the community.
我们也必须要这个在信仰当中去相信这个人是被召叫加入这个团体的。
And then it's important for us to ask ourselves, what gift is God giving us through this person?
所以对于我们来说，重要的事情就是我们要提问，是天主借着这个人给予我们这个团体什么礼物什么恩赐。
The Desert Fathers said that we should be grateful for the brother who brings out the anger that is within us.
所以说我们知道以前这个沙漠中的教父经常会说一个成员来到我们当中让我们感到即使是感到我们的愤怒，我们也应该感到这个感谢感恩。
And sometimes this is the gift that a sister can give in community is to bring out our anger.
所以这个也是非常这个常见的所以一个修女的到来可能会让这个团体感到这个生气一个愤怒。
Sometimes they say that in communities there are saints and then there are saint makers.
所以我们好多时候是这个我们说修女这个修会团体好多是圣者的团体，但是翻过来这个也产生好多也是一个制造罪恶的罪恶的团体。
So, It's good for us to be able to laugh about these things too.
当然，这对我们来说，就笑一笑也是很重要的。
And sometimes we can find consolation in knowing that we too are saint makers.
所以，好多时候也需要我们去做一些默观反省如果我们每个人自己也都是一个犯罪的人会制造一些罪恶的。
Sometimes, well, it makes me think of a story of a time when I was young. I was with my father.
这个让我这个反省到我自己的一个故事，就是我很小的时候，我自己和我的父亲的事情。
We were out on a lake in a motorboat fishing.
我们在这个湖边在这个好像开了一个摩托艇，在湖边开的摩托艇，这个去钓鱼。
And on the lake there were a lot of lily pads. And my father said, you have to be careful with the motorboat when you're driving through the lily pads because it can get stuck in the propeller.
我父亲对我说，当你这个开这个摩托艇的时候，要注意这个这些荷花，这些荷花呢有可能会卷入你这个螺旋桨当中，所以你可能不能跑了。And
then my dad drove out into the lily pads, and they got stuck in the propeller.
但是我父亲开的时候，确实被这个荷花这个样给缠住了。And
my father said, "Well, if you can't be anything else, at least you can be a bad example."
他说这个如果要是一个好像觉得重要的事情的话，或者就是我们有意义的教育的话，这就是一个教训。So
sometimes we can even learn from other members in community about how not to live.
所以好多时候我们可以从我们的团体成员当中学会的一个教训，就是说我们不要按照这种方式去做事情。
So all of this requires a little bit of humor and a lot of humility. So the last part of this point, the document Fraternal Life and Community says that we have to learn to celebrate these differences.
随着这个文献，就是说团体生活当中的友谊，这个文献呢也提醒我们，我们对这个生活，那我那是不知道。
To celebrate differences.
我们也需要为我们的不同而感到这个喜庆。So
a second point that this document makes about community.
这个文献的第二部分是关于这个团体的。
It says we must cultivate mutual respect.
所以我们必须要培养这个彼此的这个尊重，相互的尊重。
We have to accept the slow journey of weaker members and still not stifle the growth of richer personalities.
所以在这个团体当中呢，我们需要这个可以忍耐去接受某些成员成长很慢，进步很慢的人，你得学会去容忍，去包容。同时呢，我们也要这个对那些成长快的人，也需要学会去接受。So
we have to leave room for creativity and leadership.
在这个团体当中，我们也需要给创造性和这个。 有领导才能，这些事情方面留有空间。
But we also need responsibility to the weaker members and solidarity with them.
所以说我们必须有这个对，就是进步比较慢的成员的这样的一种这个团，与他们的这个接受和团结，这样的一种这个心态。
This is precisely the challenge that Saint Benedict gives to the abbot in his rule.
所以说我们这个这一地上可以从圣本都的这个回归当中，就是对于他的这些院长们的一些建议，一些规定。He
tells the abbot to give the stronger members something to strive for without discouraging the weaker members.
所以他说也给予这些成长快的成员，让他们去努力去这个努力往前走，同时也不要让这些进步慢的人而感到好像这个
It's always a danger that we reduce people to their weaknesses.
所以说我们好多的时候有一个危险，就是我们老是去强调，让这些比较软弱的人去减少他们的软弱，他们的困难。We
might see that a person does not have too many skills or is not very intelligent.
好多时候在我们团体当中会看到好多人，就是说好像智商不是很高，好像这个技能也不多。Sometimes
a person requires a little bit more charity from us or some extra attention.
所以好多的时候我们也看到有些成员呢需要我们的多的关注，或者需要我们的一些这个爱心的，或者慈爱的这种关怀。
I'm grateful that you do not reduce me to my inability to speak Chinese.
他说我很高兴你们没有要求我这个不会讲中文的这些弱点。
It's very generous of you to be patient in listening to me through my wonderful translators.
所以说你们也很大的极大的忍耐这个容忍这个我需要一个人来给我翻译。
And you might get tired of this if we live together for a long time in community.
如果我们在一个团体当中经常是这种状况需要人翻译的话也许你们会感到这个困难感到累的。
And sometimes that's how it is in community. We have some extra charity at first and then we get tired of it.
甚至好多时候我们可能对于某些成员会有一些慈爱或者怜悯关注但是时间长了我们可能就感到累了烦了。
But if God sent you a person with bad Chinese, it's because he wants to stretch your hearts a little bit more.
所以也许今天让一个人不太会讲中文的人给你们讲课也许可能让我们去打开这种心态吧学会去接受有弱点的人。
And sometimes a person with limited abilities in community has some other special gifts that are more hidden.
所以好多的时候我们看到一个好像在技能能力方面有局限性的人也许他们对我们团体有些某种隐藏的一些恩赐一个天赋。
There are great stories about this kind of saint in the stories of the saints.
所以我们在圣人传记当中我们会看到这种类型的圣人。
One saint who's especially popular in North America is Saint Andre.
就是这样一个圣人，就是在北美这个非常这个出名的一个圣人 ，Saint Andre， 安德里亚，圣人，是怎么翻译的？
Did you ever visit the in Canada?
I think I visited, but I'm not sure about this holy place.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Saint Andre was not very intelligent.
这个圣人应该是亚德里安安德里安亚德里安这样翻译。
And he joined a congregation focused on education.
他这个团体的他加入了一个强调教育的这样的一个团修会团体。
In fact, I think you have representatives from Notre Dame coming here.
所以说我们在八月份，估计你们可能没机会见到。7月8号，我们会有来自于我们圣母大学的一个，的这个访问团代表团会来到修院跟修生做交流的。
But Saint Andre was not smart enough to be a college professor like the other members.
这个圣安德利安的，他这个智商好像不太高好像不能成为一个大学教授，像其他一样成为大学教授。
And they did not know what to do with him, and so they just made him the greeter at the door.
就是说，在这个修会团体接受他了，却不知道要怎么的安排，因为这个团体强调教育的所以好多人可能都是这个教授可是这个人呢，在这个天赋不够，怎么给他安排工作呢？就让他看门得了。
And he welcomed everybody with a lot of love, and he prayed for people.
但是就是说，在这个工作当中，他就每一个来到访的人，他都很怀着爱心去接待去欢迎而且也为他们祈祷。
And people started to entrust their prayer intentions to him.
所以逐渐的，大家就愿意就说，信任相信他的祈祷，就是祈祷的效力所以说托付他，带到。
And then some people started to have miraculous healings.
所以逐渐的时候，大家也发现他有一些好像能显一些奇迹就是治愈。
And they told their friends, and more people came to talk to Brother Andre.
所以这些这个人呢，又逐渐的去分享给其他的人，所以好多的人，更多的人，来求这个安德烈啊，这个为他们转导或者治愈。
And Saint Andre became very popular. Lots and lots of people started coming.
所以这样的话，他就成了一个非常著名的圣人吸引了更多的人来到这个团体。
And he did tremendous things for the order with his popularity.
所以说，因为他这种方面的这种出名他给他这个团体做了很大的更大的贡献。
He convinced the order to build a shrine to Saint Joseph.
而且他也这个让他的这个团体啊，规劝劝说他的团体去给圣若瑟啊建立一个圣殿。
And it's the largest shrine of Saint Joseph in the world.
所以在这个世界上，今天成为了世界上最大的圣若瑟圣殿。
When Saint Andre died, more than 1 million people came to pay their respects.
所以当这个圣安德烈啊这个去世的时候啊，有超过100多万的人来这个给他做纪念。
And ironically, I think Saint Andre is the first saint of this congregation, the first canonized saint.
所以说这个有可能就是说这个圣安德烈安的有可能是北美的第一个被封圣的圣人。
Another example is Saint Conrad.
You
can make up a name.
Conrad.
He was a Franciscan in Germany.
这是一个德国的梵蒂冈修会的成员。
And he also was not very smart.
同样的，他这个智商也不高，不太聪明。
He was not able to read.
他甚至这个好像这个是个文盲一样。
And he just carried a crucifix everywhere that he went.
但是他这个他经历他到什么地方的时候都带着一个苦像。
And he explained to everybody, "This is the book that I read every day."
所以他跟别人解释说，这个苦相就是说我的书，这是我每天所要读的书。
And with Saint Conrad, they also had no other job for him. They made him the porter.
所以对这个康德利再来讲，对他来说，他的工作也是这个看门的因为他不能做别的事情。
And Saint Conrad also welcomed people with much love, and he prayed for people.
同样的，他也是这个怀着友爱去欢迎人，也为大家祈祷。
And he was a model of virtue.
所以说，他是在品德方面、德行方面是个很大的模范。
But many of the brothers did not see how holy Conrad was.
但是反过来，他的团体当中却有好多人都看不出来他的这个圣善。
And one of them even said, "We are doing him a favor by letting him live with us."
就是他们都说呀，我们让他来跟我们加入我们团体，这是对他一点好像这个给他做了点好事而已，好像对他一点怜悯。
But Conrad is canonized, and that friar is not.
但是翻过来到最后这个看门的人呢被这个封圣了但这个嘲笑他这个弟兄呢全没有被封圣。
So sometimes we have to recognize that God wants to do special things through members of our communities.
所以说我们必须要意识到天路有的时候是通过我们团体这个成员当中好像做一些特殊的工作。
The most important virtues of the Christian life are humility and charity.
所以说在我们这个基督徒团体当中最重要的事情就是这个charity 我的。
Humility.
谦逊和这个仁爱。
We are not more important because we have more academic degrees or more skills.
好多的时候我们都觉得我们自己很重要因为我们有这个学位或者有一些其他的一些技能我们以这为骄傲自豪。但这个是不够的。
So, a third point from fraternal life and community.
在这个团体生活当中的友谊这个它的第三点强调的是
It's important for us to focus on our common mission.
更重要的就是一个重要的事情就是我们要注意到我们大家的共同使命所以团体有个体使命有共同使命
Each religious congregation has its own mission and all must contribute to that with their own gifts.
所以说每一个团体都有他自己的这个使命而且这个借着他们的一些天赋去实现这个使命。
I know that in China some of these things are still in formation.
我一直都在中国的好多修会团体呢 在这一方面啊，还需要这个正在这个努力啊，去这个陶成和培育。
But even in a simple way, you can think of your communities as serving your own diocese.
这个宾馆怎么样？我们每一个团体都可以意识到，我们这个团体是在服务我们的教区。
I think many of your communities have a focus of serving the priests and the bishop of the diocese.
所以好多修女团体的是为这个主教和这省父教区的主教省父为传教工作来服务的。
And in other cases, it may be necessary to ask that question as a community, what is our mission?
所以说在这种这个情形当中呢，我们就要反省，我们到底我们自己的使命是什么。
But having a common mission is an important part of uniting a community.
所以这个共同的这个使命是让团体合一，团体这个共荣团结的一个很重要的一个方面。
It may be the case that some of us have a personal mission under obedience.
所以好多时候我们每一个人都有个个人的一个使命，就是为了这个服从，但是我们自己却有个人的使命。
Even in that case, it's important to pray for the common mission of the community.
即使在如此情况之下，我们也应该为我们团体的使命做祈祷，不应该光强调自己的这个使命了。
And there are other ways of supporting the common mission of the community, even if we have our own personal mission.
所以这个，即使我们自己我们个人的这个使命之外，我们也应该去尽力的去支持去这个帮助这个发展我们团体的使命。
For example, we can encourage those members who are more actively involved in that common mission.
所以我们可以鼓励某些比较积极的成员是为我们这个团体使命而服务。
As an example, my presence here in China is part of our common mission at St. Vincent Archabbey.
这个他自己他说我来到中国给你们做这些这个讲座或者是这个给大家做这个讲课，也是我们神文生团体的这个共同的使命之一，所以他的实践他们的共同使命的。
But as you can tell, I'm here alone.
所以你们可以看到我是一个人来这儿的。
But it's an encouragement to me when the other monks ask about this mission.
所以当然反过来，这个其他的这个我这个弟兄呢，也会问我的这个使命。
And it is a strength to me when I know they are praying for me.
对于我来讲，我感到很这个很高兴我这个知道他们接着他们祈祷。来给我这个助力帮助我。
And even some of our monks who have a personal mission make a special effort to ask about what I'm doing in China.
在我的团体当中，也有好多有个人的这个使命的人，可能会问我在中国干什么。
So the more that we can focus our attention on that common mission, the more it will bring the community together.
随着当我们这个给予这个团体的使命更多关注的时候就更容易使我们的这个团体能够去团结合一了。
And then it helps us to step back and see that God has a particular mission for our community.
所以这同样的也是让我们这个退回过去反省天主对于我们的团体有一个特殊的这个使命的。
We can remember that God is trying to bring about some particular goal through our community.
所以天主是愿意借着我们的团体实现他的某种目标。
And instead of focusing on how the community can help my own personal advancement,
而不是说光说我的这个团体能够帮助我自己有什么进步。
I can ask myself, how can I support your mission, God, that you are trying to carry out through the community?
所以说，因此我们应该去问天主， 就是天主，我怎么样借着我的这个这个付出，我的使命，帮忙这个团体去实现你的目标，就是天主的目标。
We don't always get clear answers from heaven when we ask these questions.
当然了，我们不可能每一次的祈祷都能很清楚的听到来自天上的声音啊。
But it can help us to grow in humility and charity when we take ourselves out of the center.
但是这种祈祷翻过来，让我们去学习这个谦卑学习仁爱而不把我们自己老是放在自我的中心。
God has a mission, and He is in the center.
是的，天主有他自己的这个使命意愿天主才是这个团体的中心。
This is part of the problem with James and John fighting for who is the greatest.
随着这个问题出来了，就是说当这个若望和雅各伯两个人希望坐在这个耶稣的左边和右边的时候，实际上他们正好忽视了把天主放在中心的这样的一个这个问题。
They are focused on themselves and focused on what kind of reward they will receive.
所以他们说这个最终的思想是他们所关注的就是说他们能得到什么赏报，他们将来会有什么地位。
But they should be focused instead on how can they make a gift of themselves.
但是反过来，他们应该想就是我们应该怎么样就把我们的这个天赋然后这个融入到这个团体当中为这个团体为实现天主的意愿而付出。
How can so we ask ourselves, how can I put my gifts at the service of the community?
所以我们也问我们自己，我应该怎么样把我的神融入到这个团体的这个使命当中去。
Or even better, we can ask, how can I place my gifts at the service of God's mission for this community?
就是我怎么样把我的这个个人的这个神恩融入到我们这个为服务天主或者实现天主的意愿呢？这样的这个团体当中去，团体使命当中去。
It's very important for us to remember that God is the one who has brought us all together.
所以我们必须要记住是天主把我们聚集在一起的。
And we stay together in community not because we have chosen one another, but because we have been chosen by the Lord.
所以我们生活在一个团体当中不是我们自己要加入这个团体，而是天主召叫我们每个人来加入这个团体的。
And that helps me to remember that I am not more chosen than my brother. We are equally chosen.
就说是天主召叫了我们不是我们选择了某个成员我们都是被选择的被召叫的。
Maybe we can take a little break. Maybe about 15 minutes.
Yes. 所以我们可以休息。
One of the things that brings about unity in our communities is common prayer.
给我们团体就是说让我们团体能够团结合一的一个重要的因素就是团体的祈祷，共同的祈祷。
I am both nervous and excited that I have an expert in liturgy translating for me.
他说他今天很高兴有一个专门讲授这个礼仪的人就讲团体祈祷的人给他翻译。我是讲礼仪课的礼仪就是团体祈祷就。
I want to talk to you about liturgical prayer and maybe Father Joseph will correct me on some points.
他说他在这个讲礼仪祈祷礼仪性祈祷就是我们教会的团体性祈祷。他说他有问题了我可以给他进行批判指正的。
The liturgy contains the whole spiritual treasure of the church.
是这个礼仪包含了我们教会的整个的就是祈祷的精神。
Because it is in the liturgy that we receive God himself.
因为在礼仪当中只有在礼仪当中我们才能接受天主自己就天主的自我同传好多是借着礼仪来实现的。
And so Pope John Paul says,By its very nature, the Eucharist is at the center of consecrated life and communities.
是的，因为这个，特别是我们的身体圣事它的这个性质而来它是我们整个团体祈祷生活的中心。
In the common celebration of the Eucharist, unity and charity of those who have consecrated their lives to God are strengthened and increased.
所以在我们的弥撒的这个礼仪当中我们的团体和仁爱就能给我们每一个团体的这个生命当中比如说团结 友爱、仁爱等等，都可以在这个身体圣事当中表达出来，而且得到加强。
So to say it simply, when we pray together, we are more united.
这就是说，简单来讲，就是说，我们越进行团体祈祷，我们就越能够去团结合一。
And the Eucharist, specifically, and the liturgy in general, is the greatest prayer.
所以说，我们的身体圣事啊，就总体来讲，就整个礼仪啊，就是我们的非常重要的团体祈祷。
So when we pray the liturgy together, we are more united.
所以说我们一起做礼仪性的祈祷，我们就是更好的能够去团结合一。
And when we pray the liturgy together, love grows in our hearts.
我们在一起做礼仪祈祷的时候，我们的爱也同时来增强。
And this love can grow even for those that we do not know very well.
所以这种爱啊，即使是我们不认识的人，我们不太了解的人，也可以借着这个祈祷，使爱的增长。
It's amazing how much we can come to love our brothers or sisters in community when we pray next to them every day.
所以这对我们来讲是一个很神奇奇妙的事情。就是我们在礼仪祈祷当中，我们跟我们所有的团体成员每一天的共同的祈祷当中，或者我们在一起祈祷的时候，我们对我们成员当中的爱也会增加。
I remember, I have a very strong personal experience of this.
在这一点上，我有一个很强的一个个人的经验。
After spending a couple of years praying the liturgy of the hours with my brothers every day.I went away for a summer.
就是经过几年的就和我的弟兄们一起做这个礼仪日课祈祷的之后我有一个夏天我离开。
I was away for a couple of months and then returned to my community.
所以我离开团体差不多一两个月然后又回到团体。
And as I prayed, we pray facing each other in the Benedictine tradition.
所以按照我们这个本笃会的传统呢，我们讲念这个礼仪日课的时候是好像是面对面的对唱对念的。
And as I was praying the liturgy of the hours, I looked across at some of the monks.
所以在这个礼仪日课念日课的时候，因为我这个看到对面我的几个这个弟兄。
And we have a lot of monks in our community, over 100, and I don't know all of them personally.
我们的团体呢，这个本笃会团体有100多个这个会士我并不这个对个人从个人这个交往来讲，我并不对他们都每个人都熟悉，不都熟悉。
But as I looked at the faces of these monks that I had prayed with every day for years, all of this love came into my heart.
所以当时当我每一天就面对着我的弟兄去念日课的时候我对他们看到他们的面容我这个爱也持续的在增加对他们的爱也在增加。
And even the voices that can be a little bit irritating or a little bit off pitch.
这个在这个念日课的时候因为不同的人这个声音可能有的这种比较古怪就这么怪但是我也会好像觉得这种能容忍能接受。
I missed those voices when I was away.
但是当我一个人离开这个团体去做别的工作的时候，我反而怀念这些古怪的声调。
And I felt that voice irritates me, but it belongs to my brother.
所以我就想，这些声音怪古怪的声音，有时候让我感到生气不高兴但是这是我的弟兄们的声音。
I wouldn't find that voice.That problem in any other monastic community.
对这种古怪的声音呢，我不能在其他的团体当中听到，在我自己团体当中才能听到。
There are bad singers in every monastic community, but not in the way my brother sings badly.
当然，在每一个本笃团体当中总有一些人这个音乐不好的这个五音不全的。但是这个特殊的声音，只有在我的团体当中才能听到。
So the liturgy can really bring unity and charity.
随着这个礼仪祈祷呢，绝对可以把我们的这个给带来这个统一和这个仁爱。
But some of the temptations that we face are the following.
但是反过来，这个团体祈祷呢，也有我们的一些诱惑或者一些挑战。
sometimes the liturgy seems boring.
有的时候我们觉得礼仪祈祷是很这个，这怎么样？很这个烦，很厌烦。
We gather together and recite these scriptures and sing these songs, and it's the same thing every day.
随着我们大家聚在一起，每天都唱同样的歌，读同样的这个圣经章节，觉得有点这个好像单调。
It's not interesting. It's not novel. There's no newness to it.
所以说这个因为没有新奇的东西，没有新的东西啊，都是这个一点简单的重复啊，也没有新的兴趣啊，所以觉得有点乏味单调。
I'm not sure how much China is dominated by entertainment, but I think when I see people with their cell phones, it's not so different from the United States.
随着这个对同样的现象也是这个他另外一个类比现象就是说来到中国看到中国人好像都被这个手机好像这个给掌控了所以说每天大家都低头看手机这一点上跟美国是一样的所以在这一点上来到中国好像感觉到美国是一样的
And compared to exciting videos that we can watch with lots of lights and sounds the liturgy is very boring
所以说你看对比一下我们从手机当中我们看到好多视频音乐舞蹈各种各样的这个娱乐的东西也会让人感到很兴奋但是对比之下我们的礼仪祈祷就怎么样就很单调乏味
Sometimes people even have the idea that we should have some videos to help the homily at mass
所以有的人可能觉得为了避免这个单调希望就是说借着某种这个视频比如说在讲道当中用视频来代替好像这个单调的阅读或者是聆听
Or people have the idea that we should introduce some dramatic presentations in the middle of mass
甚至有人建议在我们这个礼仪当中可以有一些比较戏剧化的戏剧性的一些东西比如说这个奉献礼品或者什么等等可以有些戏剧性的东西了。
So it's one temptation to try and turn liturgy into entertainment.
所以这一些这个问现象呢，就是说，是一种诱惑。就什么诱惑呢？就是把礼仪当成娱乐，这样的一种诱惑。
Another temptation is to try and turn liturgy into education.
所以另外一个诱惑呢，就是把礼仪当成了一种教育，这也是一种诱惑。
People probably think if only we had Father Joseph preaching at all of our masses, his homilies are much more educational.
他可能说，简单举个例子就像我一样，我们作为教育的所以说每次如果每一天我的做弥撒都是我讲到的话，我可能就在对你们进行教育了，而不是简单的一种牧灵的这种讲道了，可能会从教育的角度去给大家讲。
Maybe people think I just have a dumb parish priest.It would be better if I had a seminary professor to teach me in the liturgy.
甚至说在一些堂区的教友也可能会有一种诱惑他说我不喜欢我们有单调的一个这样一个就是说教育程度不高的一个神父来给我们做本堂老讲了一些单调的道理我们希望一个新院的这些神父来给我们讲道理可能有一些新的或者一些好像理论上比较高的东西这也是一种诱惑
But this is a temptation when we try to turn the liturgy into simply something educational.
所以这也是一种诱惑，就是我们把礼仪当成了一种教育这个也是不对的。关于这个 ，I want to add something. Turn liturgy into entertainment. I think I found around the Chinese New Year, I found a video. I think from the Southeast Asia.Some of the Chinese community, they want to make the liturgies more, you know, like interesting and attracting. Some of the priests wearing the very traditional Chinese, you know, like Chinese vestment, and Chinese, you know, like a hat, something like that, you know, like a play, like an opera, you know, the people wearing special hat. You know. 我就跟大家说一下，这个礼仪，这个娱乐化，这个确实在中国也很流行，在世界范围内好多地方都有的。今年在春节的时候，不知道大家看那个视频了没有？据说是来自东南亚所以好多人穿的这个官服神父穿的官服戴着乌纱帽，就经常了，看到没有？ 这个这就是一种现象，就为了带着心意，为了大家好像这个意乐吸引人，所以用这种形式，其实这个是不是真正的利益。
When we do this, we are really saying that Jesus is not very interesting. We need something more interesting than Jesus.
所以当我们愿意增加娱乐性的时候，实际上我们就说，哎，耶稣不重要啊，耶稣不是中心啊。所以说这个娱乐让人感到好像有吸引力，其他的东西啊，好像才是中心的，所以这个就错误的。
Or we are saying that Jesus cannot give us the fullness of truth. We need to get all the seminary professors to teach us truth because Jesus is not enough.
同样的，在这个教育方面，我们也会说，好像这个耶稣不是这个真理啊，不是真理，不是中心，而是说好像修院的神父们好像才是真理的中心，所以这是个误区。
But really, the challenge for us.It's good for us to laugh about these things, but the challenge for us is to move from the natural to the supernatural.
所以说这个当然我们可以对这些事情置之一笑，但是反过来更重要的东西是我们要从这个本性上升到超性，这个才是最重要的。
The only answer is that we really enter into the liturgy with faith.
所以更重要的是我们要在礼仪祈祷的时候举行礼的时候必须要强调信德信仰。
There is no way to remove the necessity of faith.
所以在礼仪当中不能把这个信德这种必要性去拿掉。如果除掉了这个信德方面这种必要性，礼仪就不是礼仪了。
And humbly we could also say that the secular world is better at being entertaining than we could ever be anyway.
所以好多的时候我们可能会感到这个不太舒服的，就是世俗的这种娱乐好像胜过了我们的这个好像神圣的这些礼仪祈祷了。
But we have something that the secular world cannot offer people. We have Jesus.
但是反过来我们却拥有这个社会的世俗的生活所不能给予的，那就是基督真理。
And it's important for us to focus on what we, on the great giftthat we do have in Jesus.
所以在礼仪当中我们应该关注在我们的最大的礼物就是耶稣基督，这才是我们的中心。
Another temptation that we have with the liturgy is complaining that it's not beautiful enough.
所以另外一个就是说诱惑或者挑战，就是我们经常抱怨我们的礼物这个礼仪 not
beautiful enough.
就是说礼仪不够美啊，就是说这个有点这个好像这个太普通了，没有这种美感。
We complain that the sisters sing badly, or Father preaches badly, or it's too hot in the chapel.
所以好多的时候我们可能抱怨啊，修女们唱的不好，神父讲道不好，教堂太热。
And we can make these excuses for why it's better for us not to go.
所以说总之哈，意思就是说通过这些种种的借口哈，意思就是说我们不需要进教堂。
Or we can think maybe in the next parish, or maybe in the next religious community, or maybe in another country, it's better.
所以说有的时候我们就会说，是不是我们邻近的这个堂区、邻近的一些团体，或者甚至国外的团体，是不是更好呢？
I like to think of it this way, that.No matter how good the choir is, they're much, much worse than the choir of angels.
所以我这个给大家说一下，就是无论你的这个合唱团是多么好，都没有天使的合唱团好。
And God wants us to learn how to hear the choir of angels through every human choir.
当然是天主愿意好像就这个借着每一个这个歌唱团队的这个祈祷去聆听天使般的祈祷这个歌声。
But that requires us to listen with ears of faith.
所以这些当然就要求我们通过这个带着信德去聆听。
Another temptation is thinking that we have more important things to do.
所以另外一个诱惑就是说，好像我们每个人都说我有更重要的事情去做。
In some communities, there are.There's a story from my own community of one of the priests who said, there are the brothers who pray, and then there are those of us who work.
所以这个在我的团队当中就一个人说，这个有些这个就是会士啊去祈祷，他说我们有更多的任务去工作。
And he made it sound like the ones who work are the ones who are really making this community function.
他的意思就是说，哎，这些真正这个努力工作的人，才能好像让这个团体好像能够运作一样。这个过度的强调了工作，而不是祈祷。
The ones who pray are just consuming resources, and we have to support them.
哎，那些正祈祷的人，好像就是来，对于我们的团体的资源是一种浪费，是一种消耗啊。所以我们只是我们好像在支持他们一样。
But the we need to reverse this perspective.
但是翻过来，我们应该去让这种现象正好去翻过来啊，去改变这种思想。
The center of our community is the liturgy.
但是翻过来，在我们的团体的中心实际上是礼仪，就礼仪祈祷。
The most important thing we do is develop the spiritual life.
更重要的事情是我们去发展我们的灵修生活。
If we do not have a spiritual life, then we might as well just become a government agency.
所以除了我们的灵修生活之外，实际上我们的团体就好像就相当于一个政府机构一样了。
If we do not have Jesus at the center, then we are wasting our time.
如果我们不把基督放在中心，那么我们就在浪费生命。
Another temptation that we can face is thinking that it's just as good if I pray alone.
所以另外一些这个诱惑可能就是我个人祈祷好像就够了。
And it's less irritating when I pray alone.
就是因为我一个人祈祷的时候，可能就是没有别的烦恼，没有别的人这个好像刺激我。
And sometimes it takes less time if I pray alone.
对，因为有的时候这个我一个人祈祷可能会省好多时间。
But it's important for us to remember how powerful the liturgy is when we pray together.
但是反过来，我们没有意识到这个当我们一起祈祷的时候礼仪的力量，这个祈祷的力量才能够发挥出来。
The liturgy is the glue that holds our communities together.
所以礼仪实际上相当于这个胶水一样。把我们这个团体能够去粘在一起，凝聚在一起。
And coming together to for the mass and the liturgy of the hours is a powerful force for holding us together.
所以说，我们这个参与弥撒弟弟念日课，实际上就是一个很强大的力量，把我们凝聚在一起。
Saint Benedict has some expressions in the rule about how important the liturgy is.
所以本笃在他的会规当中也强调了这个公共的祈祷的重要性。
He says that when the bell rings, we should drop whatever we're doing and go immediately to the chapel.
所以他说，当这个祈祷的钟声响起来的时候，我们应该放下手中的无论多么重要的工作都要放下，然后去祈祷。
It's clear from the rule that he does not expect this from every monk in every situation.
当然这个会规呢是为了这个任何一个会事或者任何一个情形制定的。
But he says it in this way to show how important the liturgy is for us.
当然这些他这些强调的会规实际上是强调了礼仪的重要性，对于我们这个团体生活的人来讲礼仪的重要性。
We are always tempted to put the liturgy in a lower priority than the other things that are more interesting to us.
所以说，因为我们时常都有一个诱惑，就是把礼仪放在了这个最后而把其他的事情放在了优先的位置。
But he wants to challenge us to keep raising up the priority of the liturgy in our lives.
所以说，他通过这个会规来持续提醒我们，我们应该把礼仪祈祷放在最优先的位置。
Saint Benedict also says that the monks should compete with each other to be first at the liturgy.
就是反这个本笃就这个会规当中，就是说好像这个要求好像提醒，就是说这个大家祈祷聚会的时候，谁会是大家要作为一种竞争，好像是谁的第一个进到教堂的，应该这样竞争。
I sometimes smile thinking of what it would look like if the monks were racing to arrive at the chapel first.
所以说好多时候我在看到啊，好像这个接到众人一抢劫的时候啊，这个本都会日本啊，大家就好像赛跑一样啊，往教堂跑。
Again, Saint Benedict does not expect us to run to the chapel and arrive sweating.
当然，这个本都不是要求我们为了这个赶到第一个赶到教堂而怎么样，这个就好像这个
满头大汗，
对，满头大汗的去跑到教堂去。
But he wants to express again that where our focus should be.
当然，他实际上是在强调我们的中心啊，我们的聚焦焦点应该是在什么地方。
And I admit that I am one of those monks who is more often late than early.
所以说，我也经常看到我们的这个会师们，都是迟到，而不是提前去。
And even as I'm telling you this, I'm feeling ashamed and that I need to repent.
所以说，我这个有时候告诉这些，有的时候我也有些事情啊，我需要好像去告诉你们某些事情，我也应该好像应该忏悔一样。
This is an area that I need to grow in my own life.
所以这是我这个需要成长的地方。
I'd like to offer just a few thoughts on how we can enter into the liturgy more.
所以现在给大家分享几点，就是我们应该怎么样去这个进入到礼仪祈祷当中。
One is related to the image that we've been using for the past couple of days.
所以首先就是一个图像，我们这几天经常使用的一个图像。
That's the soul.
中间是灵魂，是指灵魂的啊。
And one of the things that we say in the Mass is, lift up your hearts.
我们在弥撒当中，我们经常说，请举心向上。
And, Again, we can think of lifting up our spirit as we have described with this picture.
实际上，我们应该就想把我们的精神啊，心灵高举啊。
And when we get stuck in these worldly perspectives, it's good for us to lift up our hearts.
所以，当我们每一天啊，都这个好像因为世俗的事物，让我们这个浸泡于这个世俗的事物，所以在礼仪当中，我们应该。超度这个世的时候而举行向上。
When we start to think that the liturgy is boring or it's not beautiful enough, lift up your hearts.
当我们认为礼仪这个有点单调啊，不美丽，所以这个时候我们就需要把我们灵性生命要提升，举行向上，超度这个思想。
Those temptations are a sign that we are focusing on the human dimension, and we need to lift our hearts and focus on the divine dimension.
所以，因为我们感觉到礼仪不好，或者是不美丽等等，实际上我们过度的关注在这个人性层面了啊。实际上，我们需要提到神性的层面啊，天主性层面。
And I find that even just remembering this little phrase, "Lift up your hearts," is helpful for me.
所以实际上我们讲的虽然很简单的一个句子，说请举心向上，实际上是对我们的帮助是非常大的。
And sometimes even physically looking up or looking at the tabernacle helps me to do that.
所以好多的时候啊，虽然说天主我们不知道到底多高啊，但我们一般的可能会觉得天主在天上啊。或者简单的向上仰望，或者简单的仰望这个圣体柜，对我们也是一个很大的帮助。
Sometimes in the middle of evening prayer, I find myself focusing on my voice and this irritating voice next to me.
所以有时候我在晚上祈祷的时候，我有时候会聆听我自己的声音和我的刚才提到的那个古怪的那个声音啊，那叫让我不舒服的那个声音。
And in that moment, when I catch myself, I open my eyes and look to the tabernacle or look to the cross.
所以在这个时候呢，我就会这个把我的目光啊，这个关注在这个圣体柜。
Or sometimes I find myself focused on the other things that I have to do today.
所以有的时候我可能主要是集中在我今天所要做的事情上。
It's a sign that I did not really leave my work behind and come to the chapel.
所以当我祈祷的时候，想到这些关于日常生活的时候，实际上等于我还没有举心向上，就是我还没有超脱。
And in those moments, I just set my work down and I lift up my heart to God.
所以在这个时候呢，我就应该把我所想的思想、这些顾虑都放下，然后举心向上，向天上看。
So lift up your hearts can be a helpful phrase to refocus your attention.
所以说请举起香杖可以作为一个很有帮助的一句话，帮忙我们 去超越世俗的事物，而去聚焦于神性的事物。
Another phrase that's used by Saint Benedict is that our mind should be in harmony with our mind should be in harmony with our voices.
所以这另外本度也提醒我们，我们的这个思想应该和我们的声音保持一致，和谐一致。
There's something very interesting about the liturgy of the hours.
所以有些事情对于我们这个历仪日课来讲，实际上也很有意义的一些事情。
Normally we form words in our minds and then we speak them with our mouths.
所以好多的时候我们会好像先在我们思想当中去组织了某些话，然后才从语言从口讲出来。
But in the liturgy of the hours, we are given the words to say, and they are supposed to form our minds.
但是在历仪日课当中正好相反。你比如说平常说话，我这先有思想组织了，再用口表达出来。你这个正好相反，是天主先给到我们的话，然后让我们从口讲出来，然后耳朵才聆听。
You know that the Psalms express the whole range of human emotions.
我们知道这个声咏是表达了我们整个人性的各种不同的这种情感。
Some of them are sorrowful, some of them are angry, some of them are happy.
所以这个声音我们可以看到，有些是这个表达哀伤的，有些是表达愤怒的，有些表达喜乐的。
And one of the desert fathers, or one of the disciples asked the desert father, do I have to pray all of the Psalms?
所以我们在这个沙漠的这个教父当中有个故事，他说这个一个教父的徒弟问他说，我应该时常祈祷吗？
He said, or can I just pick the psalms that correspond to the way that I'm feeling today?
我祈祷的时候是不是可以就是说我选的某个声咏适合我当时的情感呢？
But the desert father said, it's important for you to pray the psalms that are given to you.
这个教父就会回答，重要的是说，就是说教会比如说今天安排的这个圣咏，你就用这个圣咏来祈祷，而不是根据你自己的情感喜好去选择圣咏。
If you are happy but the psalm is sad, you can remember that somebody else is sad today.
他比如说你今天这个很高兴的时候，我们今天日课上安排的却是一个非常哀伤的圣咏，这个时候你不要光想你自己，你应该想世界上还有好多人也在哀伤。
And by praying in this way, it helps us to get out of ourselves, to take ourselves out of the center.
所以通过这种祈祷呢，也是让我们就说，超越我们自己，别把我们自己放在中心，也把别人或者把天主放在中心。
And when we are praying in community, we can remember that somebody else is probably feeling what's happening in this psalm.
所以说我们团体祈祷的时候，会让我们提到，就是虽然跟我的情感不一样，但是让我去想到其他的成员可能有某种适合，就是相当于声咏所表达的那种情感或者那种这个境遇。
And it can remind us to pray for that person and whatever that person is going through.
所以说这个也提醒我们是为这样的人祈祷，无论这些人他经历了什么样的痛苦或者是喜乐等等。
Another point that can help us to enter into the liturgy.
另外一点也是帮忙我们能够进入礼仪祈祷的这样的一个一点嘛，意义。
The divine and the invisible and the spiritual is more important than the human and the visible and the material.
所以在礼仪当中，我们要注意到这个不可见的或者神圣的事情，要比我们能够所看到的能感到的事情更重要。
For example, the human and the visible is the sister who is sitting next to me.
你比如说那个可见的事情，你比如说这个我领桌的修女。
Even more important than the sister sitting next to me is the saint that I can't see, who is also sitting next to me.
那可能就是比我领进的这个修女更重要的是某个圣人，可能也只在我周边的圣人 可能比我的这些在座的修女啊更重要。
And even more important than the saint and the sister are Jesus, who is in front of me.
更重要的是比圣人啊，比我领座的修女更重要的是基督啊，在我面前的基督啊，是更重要的。
But it requires some practice and some preparation to see more in this way.
但是就这种角度的思考思想，需要我们更多的去锻炼啊，去培养。是吧？先从我们的姊妹想到了我们的那个圣者，再想到基督。
It's one of the reasons that it's better to arrive at chapel early rather than late.
所以说，要想去意识到啊，这个从我们自己啊修女圣人到基督啊，就需要我们提前到教堂啊，去准备好自己去祈祷啊。
That gives us a little bit of time to transition from the visible.Material world that we've been in to the spiritual invisible world we are going to.
所以你提前进到教堂，都是静下来啊，让我们这个从跳出日常生活当中的可见的事物啊，进入不可见的这些事物思想。
Our chapels are also designed to help us with this.
我们的这个修会的这个小教堂，实际上这个它的设计。也是帮忙我们这样祈祷的。
Our chapels, our churches are designed with things that are similar to everyday things, but a little bit different.
所以说，我们这个教堂或者圣堂，它设计的好像有点像我们日常生活当中见到的事物，但是又有一些不同。
For example, we have windows.But they're stained glass windows.
我们有窗户啊，各种各样的建筑都有窗户，但是我们教堂的窗户却是彩色玻璃的。
And we have something that looks like a table, but it's actually an altar.
我们可以看到，比如说像桌子一样的东西，但是对我们来讲却叫它祭台。
And many times we have something that looks like what we normally sit in, but then maybe we have pews instead of chairs.
所以有些东西像椅子一样让我坐，但是我们在教堂当中就叫它跪凳或者坐凳。
And we have pictures, but they're pictures of saints instead of just family members.
我们都有好些照片或者是图像，但是我们却认他们却是圣人，他们的这个形象。
And we have books, but they're a special kind of books that are only used for the liturgy.
我们有好多书啊，但是在圣堂当中我们却有这个礼仪性的啊。这个礼典，特别是为礼作用的书。
And we have clothing, but it's a special kind of clothing only used for the liturgy.
好像没有好多服装，但是我们却有这个祭披啊一样，这个礼仪性的这个服装。
So you get the idea. We have things that are similar to our everyday things, but a little bit different, set aside for God.
所以通过这些例子呢，就让我们去感觉到，我们这礼仪当中用的，好像像是平日的日常的生活的东西用品，但是却有。与日常生活用品不一样。
All of that is designed to help us make this transition from the visible to the invisible.
所以所有这些设计呢，就是帮忙我们啊，从有形可见的事物上升到不可见的事物。
We only have a picture of a couple of saints in the chapel, but we should realize the whole communion of saints is there.
虽然我们教堂当中可能只有几幅圣人的画像，但是却让我们去想象到。我们在天上，这个圣人的团队那是庞大的。
And sometimes I like to use my imagination and imagine my favorite saint sitting next to me.
所以好多时候我有一些想象，我想到我很喜欢的圣人啊，好像就坐在我的身边。
It's not just my imagination; it's reality.
那不仅仅是一个我们的想象，实际上就是事实啊。你比如说，你的主保圣人可能就跟着你了。
But it is an invisible reality that I see through my imagination.
这是一个这个不可见的这样一个事实哈，借着我的这个思想或者我的这个默想而意识到它的存在。
As we develop the faith that we need to see the invisible in the chapel, that helps us to see the invisible outside of the chapel as well.
当我们在培养我们的心德的时候，我们可以这个通过教堂，等等，我们教堂之外的这些有形可见的事物，逐渐上升到不可见的精神性的事物。
And I think we have time just for one last point about how to enter into the liturgy more.
最后再给大家讲一点，怎么样能够真正的进入礼仪性的祈祷。
One of the reasons for the changes in the liturgy at the Second Vatican Council was to emphasize the offering that we make there.
在这个梵蒂冈第二次大公会啊，在礼仪当中强调，其中有一个就是说这个奉献，在礼仪当中强调这个奉献。
We make an offering of our whole selves, especially in the Eucharist.
所以说，在整个奉献当中，实际上是奉献我们整个的我，整个的自己，特别是在弥撒当中啊，借着奉献礼品，实际上是奉献我们每个人的自己啊，全部的自己。
Pope John Paul says in his document on consecrated life, by means of the Eucharist, all consecrated persons are called to live Christ's Paschal mystery.
所以说保罗二世啊，在他的这个奉献生活的这个文献当中强调啊，在礼仪当中啊，我们每一个人都把我们自己啊，就说奉献生活，就是完全的应该去表达出来，奉献自己。
And they do this by uniting themselves to Him by offering their own lives to the Father through the Holy Spirit.
所以你整个奉献自己，就是把我们自己交给基督，也把我们自己啊，我们这个生活完全奉献给天主。
So the Eucharist is our opportunity to offer everything to God.
随着这个弥撒的圣体圣事的，就像让我们借着这个礼仪，把我们自己完全的奉献给天主。
There are some things in our lives which we feel very good about.
所以在我们生命当中，我们可能感觉到有些事情，我们感觉到很好，感觉良好。
When we are successful, when we receive affirmation, when we feel loved.
所以说，好多的时候，我们生活当中，当我成功了，获得别人的爱，获得别人的肯定，我们可能感觉很良好，很美。
I don't know if you have this practice in China when we're small children and we do a good job, the teacher puts a gold star on the paper.
他说我不知道在中国有没有这种习惯啊，比如说一个小学生，这个考试好或者考得好了，这老师就把一个这个好像金色的这个小星星这个标记啊，好像给你贴到这个桌子上或者是什么上面去。
And we really like, when we're children, we really like to bring the paper home with the gold star and show it to our parents.
甚至我们作为这个小孩子啊，我们很高兴啊，很自豪啊。如果老师给到我这个小金星啊，我们就可以很高兴的、很自豪的啊，带到家里去。
So that's part of what we can bring to the Eucharist too. We bring the projects and the in our lives that we're proud of. We show them to God.
所以在我们的礼仪当中，或者是这个弥撒当中，我们可以把我们日常生活当中我们认为自豪的东西啊，带到教堂当中去。
But one of the very beautiful things that happens in the Eucharist is that we can also bring our failures to God.
所以说刚才把成功的东西啊，带到教堂奉献给天主。但是同样的，在我们的弥撒当中，我们也可以把我们的失败啊，带到教堂献给天主。
When we have tried and it has gone badly, we can still bring it to God.
你比如说，在我们的这个什么诉讼官司啊方面失败了，很不好，我们也可以去奉献给天主。
And God accepts everything, and He turns everything into Jesus.
实际上，反过来，天主会接受我们奉献的一切，然后把这一切好像这个托付给基督。
Sometimes things go badly because of our own sin.
好多的时候，我们感觉到事情不太好，是因为我们自己的罪过。
Sometimes we fail because of our own bad decisions.
所以，好多的时候，我们的失败是因为我们的错误的决定。
But even those things we can bring to God.
就是这样的事情，我们也可以带给天主。
And that's what the liturgy invites us to do at the beginning of the Mass.
所以这就是我们礼仪为什么在弥撒开始的时候要求我们啊，好像去忏悔。
The Mass says we prepare ourselves for the mysteries by remembering our sins.
所以说这个弥撒要求我们啊，为了准备好我们自己去参与弥撒啊，所以说我们先求天主宽恕我们的罪过。
We really need this opportunity to bring our failures to God and receive His love in return.
所以说我们需要这样的这种机会啊， 把我们自己的失败啊，这个错误呈现给天主，求天主宽恕。
We always bring our things to God, and God always gives us Jesus.
是这很重要的，要我们记住的，我们把我们自己的这个事情带给天主，但是反过来，天主也借着基督给我们很多的恩惠。
And the Liturgy of the Hours is an extension of this divine exchange.
所以我们的礼仪日课也是这种天人这个神圣的交换的很重要的一部分。我们这礼仪就是天人的交流。
We extend this offering throughout the rest of the day.
所以说我们礼仪日课是升华一整天的，所以我们在整一天的十整祈祷当中，把我们一切也呈现给天主。
In fact, the morning prayer and evening prayer are, in particular, connected to the Jewish temple sacrifices.
我们的礼仪日课实际上有两个时辰是非常重要的，是来自于犹太人的，就是说圣殿的奉献。比如说我们的早祷是这个晨祷是犹太人的早上的奉献，就是说在圣殿当中的祭献，晚祷是晚上的祭献。
This is why it's a beautiful opportunity to offer the sacrifice of our hopes and plans at the beginning of the day.
所以说在一天的开始我们可以正好可以借个犹太人的这个在圣殿当中的祭献一样，把我们一天这个新的一天好像祭献给天主，奉献给天主。
And then at the end of the day, we can offer to God our successes and failures.
所以在晚祷当中正好也可以把我们一天的成功和失败也呈现给天主。
And in both cases, he lovingly accepts this offering and he offers us love in return.
所以说在这个晨祷，无论是晨祷或者是晚祷，天主都会这个很怀着慈爱去慈悲接受我们的奉献，然后把他的爱在这个赐给我们。
The church requires us, religious and priests, to pray the liturgy of the hours a certain five times a day.
所以说我们的教会要求我们神职人员包括会士按照这个时辰至少祈祷五个时辰。
And maybe that's because we have a special need to have an opportunity to offer.
也许我们这些人的特别有需要把我们的这些通过这几个时辰特别需要把我们自己呈现给天主。
God gives us these extra opportunities because we need them more.
所以天主给我们这些机会是因为我们更需要。
So hopefully you can take some of these ideas and practice.
所以希望就是说我下午的分享，希望你们能够这个接受其中我讲的某一点或者某几点，然后去实践出来。
There's a special opportunity when we are away from our communities to renew our practice of the Liturgy of the Hours.
所以这对我们来讲实际上是有时候也是很重要的，比如你们现在我们离开我们自己的团体好像跳出这个团体做一些反省，做一些我们灵性的更新。
You may not have prayed together, this group may not have prayed together enough to be irritated at each other yet.
他说在你们这几天聚在一起祈祷，你们也许你们还没有发现某个姊妹或者弟兄这个祈祷的声音让你感到生气不舒服。
And so you can appreciate the liturgy of the hours at a human level, but then make sure you also lift your hearts to the divine level.
所以我们在这个做礼仪祈祷的时候不但要这个把我们人性的这个层面的这样的一种这个层面但是我们也要这个上升到灵性的层面。
Try not to fall into the trap of thinking how you could make your community at home pray more like this community.
当然反过来也不要大家有这个一个好像太大的诱惑，就是希望我自己的团体回到我家乡的团体，我自己的协会团体也像我们现在这几天的这个祈祷一样。
Instead, try to focus on how you can pray more at home in the way that you are praying here.
当事情发生我们可以这样讲，就是我回到我的自己的团体之后，我也应该像现在我们这些团这个团体临时的团体的祈祷一样，还回到我团体也要做同样的祈祷。
Now I have to demonstrate the only Chinese that I know.
对，现在得给表达哈，他所知道的，所仅仅知道的几句中文，现在要表达了。
Yuan Chu Yuniman Tong Sai. Yuan Chuanang De Tian Chu Sheng Fu Sheng Zhe Sheng Shen Jiang Fu Niman.
Very good.